Hi, this is Matt with the Intergalactic Herald. Welcome to my Star OS Week in Review podcast. This is podcast number 55. All articles and videos mentioned here can be found on my website at intergalacticherald.com. Please look for News Recap 104. So before I get started, just wanted to mention all the different content things I'll be going over today. So first, discussing a Twitter/X space that was done by the GG Collective. They're one of the people that purchased one of the Star Atlas Titans. They were also then interviewed on the Metaverse Nomad show, so I'll kind of mention some things there. One of the big things in the Star Atlas community was a brainstorming session that occurred, I guess it was actually two Fridays ago, with the CEO about the high-risk zone. Talk briefly about the last week's Atlas Brew, and then I'll just go into a number of my thoughts on some things that occurred, the Taint sales, some faction fleet issues, which also is the Solana issue. So that's what we'll be going over. But before I get started, just a couple things about the world of the intergalactic, again, intergalactic ventures, I guess, is my actual LLC. But again, looking for anybody who's interested in being a podcast guest on this podcast. So again, that could be to talk about the week in review. Happy if you want to come on and talk about your contributions to the Star Atlas community. So definitely looking for other Star Atlas builder, IP builders and things like that. So please go to intergalacticherald.com, look for the contact page and just fill that out. I do have two Star Atlas projects I'm personally working on. One is my merch store, Intergalactic Gear. That's at intergalacticgear.com. Do have a merch survey there. I'd love to get some feedback. I am slowly making progress. Finally figured out sales tax, or shouldn't say I figured it out, but I'm not going to figure it out. I'm going to hire somebody. Anyways, so if you have, I'd literally love to get any information about things, merch, Star Atlas merch you might be interested in. And then the second project I'm working on is called the Intergalactic Coalition. This is my non-guild guild, so I've officially registered as a DAC within the Star Atlas ecosystem. Basically, this is going to be a paid community where Star Atlas gamers who are not interested in joining a guild but nevertheless want a different kind of community experience than the official Star Atlas Discord can kind of hang out, chat. The platform we'll be using will allow for threaded discussions, email alerts, so you can definitely not have to easy to keep up, but also you can engage at the pace you're looking for. So those are a couple, and again, that's at intergalacticcoalition.com. If you're interested in that, please fill out my survey there. So let's go ahead and get into content from the last week. And again, just do the where I kind of put a stop on kind of content that comes in on the Friday so that I have flexibility to record this podcast over the weekend. Anything that happens kind of Friday/Saturday morning usually doesn't get included until the next week. So one of the big things, though, that came out was the first Star Atlas Titan being sold. And it was announced, I think they announced it. I'm not really sure. Anyways, the group that purchased it was called GG Collective. So they actually did a Twitter/X space. Again, whatever, you know, Twitter space, where there was a basic and auto conversation. Again, if you remember Clubhouse, this was Twitter's answer to an audio real-time chat space, but audio. Anyways, so I went ahead and finally listened to that and learned a little bit more about who the GG Collective is. So from that thing, they are, I guess, and I'm not sure on the subtleties, but I'm sure there are, they're more of an investment group. So they're trying to be officially registered with, I assume, U.S. government agencies so that people who join are actually joining for investment reasons. So again, I don't know. I'm not really up on all the U.S. financial laws about, you know, hedge funds and things like that. But anyway, so this was the first time I heard somebody say, hey, we're Action Investment Group. They are structuring themselves as a DAO, a distributed autonomous organization, and they're going to be issuing their own token. So what was very interesting to find out is they said they have, quote, a deal, but it doesn't actually sound like it was an actual closed deal, just, quote, under contract. So, again, I find this slightly interesting that Star Atlas is tweeting, we sold a Titan, but the people that supposedly bought it are saying, well, no, we have a contract to buy it. So, and a lot of their Twitter spaces was mentioning how decisions will be dependent upon the token owner. So, doesn't sound like they've actually released their token. And then once they do release a token, I don't know if this is, again, their funding strategy. Again, this was, they're talking about what they did, so I assume most of the audience was their community. So anyways, the biggest takeaway, I think, is doesn't sound like there's an actual closed deal, and their future goals for using the Star Atlas Titan ship are dependent upon what their token owners want to do, because they are structuring themselves as a DAO. So on past Sunday, Metaverse Nomads actually interviewed one of the members. And again, I think there was three on their Twitter space, and then one. And he basically kind of reiterated some of those things and mentioned that basically they're using their GG Collective DAO, investment group, again, not sure, as a fractional ownership model. So I'm, again, reading between the lines, but if somebody has a big thing they want to buy, they might sell it or might allow people to buy smaller stakes in it, and then they work together as a whole. So very intriguing business model, a very intriguing factional model. And, oh, and then the other thing that the gentleman mentioned was that, quote unquote, it's a handshake agreement. So I was like, well, now it's not a deal, not a sold, not under contract, just handshake. Now, again, he may have just been saying the word handshake, but I don't know. As a business owner myself, handshakes are worth, well, nothing. An agreement is the only way to do it. And again, we go back to the recent history of Elon Musk trying to buy Twitter, and he had an agreement and then he wanted to back out, but they took him to court. Anyways, so I guess in the end, cool, but there's a lot more that we aren't being told. Again, not in a negative way, but as I mentioned in the last podcast, you know, did they really sell it or agree to sell it for $5 million? You know, all this stuff. So again, great. This shows, I guess, some interesting developments within the Star Atlas community, but again, I think we have, or I should say, the impressions from the Twitter/X announcements of the Titan sale need to be extremely caveat that there's a lot we don't know. And again, I'm not even sure. It sure sounds like there was no actual money exchanged yet. So just a quote handshake agreement. Moving on to the next one. So again, last Friday, not this Friday, but two Fridays ago, Michael Wagner apparently did a brainstorming session in the Discord on Friday night that just blew up as far as a really great community interaction. It was discussions about the high-risk zone and the possibility of how, quote, original ships or GAO ships, so I guess it was called the Galactic Asset Offering, so the very first ones, how they may be handled in the high-risk zone, which again, according to the original white paper of Star Atlas, is this place where combat there has the repercussion that you could actually lose your ship completely. There's no, it's permanently destroyed. So even though you own the NFT, the NFT would be burned, destroyed. Anyways, you would lose your thing. So there's a lot of quoting, there would be a lot of great rewards there for in the Star Atlas stuff, but this is the risk. So apparently it moved from a Discord discussion to a Discord audio thing, and lots of people are talking about it. Twitter polls were sent out. Sorry, again, I'm just going to call it Twitter, partly because X doesn't. Anyways, pet peeve. Just like Meta, is it Meta? It's Facebook. Anyways, so wasn't engaged Friday night on that, even if I was actually technically on Discord. I don't know which Discord was occurring, or maybe I just didn't look hard enough, or I had my own agenda for what I was accomplishing in Star Atlas that night. But anyways, I still think this is very interesting. So one, very cool the CEO is engaging the community directly like that. But it sounds, again, this seems like a topic that won't happen for years, which I'll get into kind of. That was my first thought. And then after I listened to that brew, I have additional thoughts, but let's kind of guess, just finish that up. So again, really great CEO is asking, getting engagement from the community. I mean, these ad hoc things I think are great and really shows both the passion of the community to want to stay up on a Friday night and debate different topics of game, and definitely that Star Atlas leadership's willing to, you know, pose these questions and stick around too. So all in all, great. So last Wednesday, the Atlas Brew occurred. So they went over their standard kind of updates. One was some fixes to Solana issues that have been occurring with lots of people not being able to commit their transactions. So this could affect the Sage, people moving their resources out, marketplace transactions, selling and buying, and the Action Fleet score things. So they mentioned they rolled out some fixes to that. But the bulk of the Atlas Brew was actually kind of a continuation of this high risk zone theory crafting. And again, they were very, the three hosts were very clear to make it very clear that this was just, again, everybody's just talking. And there was even some indication that Michael Wagner took the thoughts from the brainstorming session and already mentioned it to other team members and kind of, it's already done. But as they started talking about more, I think it was, again, really interesting. Jose, the kind of lore writer, was starting the conversation and mentioning how this fits in. And again, I think this is all great. This is really fascinating to think about how the gameplay could evolve over time and all of this. But a couple of things that did come out. And again, I want to caveat all this with, this is my perspective. So you may find this stuff fascinating. Great. Power to you. But again, this is my podcast. I get to talk about what I want to talk about. So, and if you've been listening for a while, you know, I have a specific kind of perspective on things. And again, not everybody has to have the same perspective. So again, but I'm the one talking. So a couple of things that were interesting brought up was that the high risk zone wasn't even supposed to be something coming till season 6. And I was like, season 6. And then I remembered not the last breakpoint, but two breakpoints. They had the very large roadmap where there were different versions of, I assume, the kind of the showroom, the UE5, and then they were breaking down into seasons. And then it was mentioned, oh yeah, we're coming out with release 2.2. So again, not season 2.2, release 2.2 of the showroom. And then it was mentioned, well, actually that's in preseason. And I was like, oh man, I'm not following all this. So what we have in the showroom isn't even season 1, or I think there's even a season 0, I'm not really sure. But anyways, High Risk Zone isn't even until season 6. Okay, cool. That's good to know. But again, this is so far in the future. But what was really interesting was hearing more about, and again, I think Jose is really great to be presenting this, because as I found out during my interview of him, there's really kind of three levers within the Star Atlas. There's game design, there's economy, which again, probably the two we have, or the community talks most about, but the third is lore, and lore informs different parts. And I mean, I shouldn't say inform. I think all three of them are really interconnected and integrated to each other. But obviously, Jose was talking about what he was talking about. So, and what he mentioned and I found really interesting again was, again, this is part of a journey. So the High Risk Zone isn't like something you just are in. You kind of get to there through different methods. Though somebody did ask a question about kind of physical location and wanted to clarify again that the three factions and their zones are kind of on the outside, and then in the center is the High Risk Zone. So to go between factions, you have to traverse it. But again, you could use the, what are they called? Star path is the, well, anyways, jump gates or whatever. Sorry, the terms I'm forgetting. Though maybe star path too. But anyways, there's ways to jump over, but I'm sure there's costs. Anyways, so what was interesting to mention is that these aren't just considered level changes. So there are actual, like, you would have to go to the High Risk Zone. You don't just in it. So again, but again, we're way down there. What was really interesting, the Atlas Brew, at least for me, who's not listened to all of them, it was great to hear community members speak up and have a very passionate discussion. And so, like, someone was mentioning, well, you know, all this is going to relate to the rental system. And again, we haven't really heard much about that, though it's coming with profiles. But again, it was kind of like, well, anyways, a lot of the conversation was about, you know, how much money you're investing and do you want to lose it and all this. So again, I think there was a lot of passion. And for somebody who isn't in Discord, well, I guess I take that back. I do check Discord, Star Atlas Discord week daily. I only check at night. I only check a few channels, and I don't usually go back past 50 unreads, because it's, again, I'm trying to start a community that will avoid all of this. So obviously this just doesn't fit my style. But what was really interesting, again, there is a lot of passion. I just haven't seen it in other places. And again, I didn't even know the Discord impromptu thing with Wagner was even occurring. But there was one point that I wanted to dig into just a little bit deeper. When someone mentioned that, you know, losing your ship might be a deterrent to bringing in new players, if you could lose your ship permanently. And I think that's a very good point. I mean, if I bought a $20 ship and came into the game and a week later I got destroyed, yeah, I probably would lose interest. But again, I think that I think there's a interest in, like, specific topic, but not stepping back and look at the big picture. And I've been kind of mentioning before, I mean, I do not want to lose any of my ships. So, you know, staying in the safe zone is like, cool, awesome. I mean, if I can put my claim stakes down on a planet within that and nobody can destroy me, yeah, that's the kind of gameplay I want. I can't be in this game every day. I got so many other priorities, but that doesn't mean I don't want to participate. So I think the idea of the three zones, the safe zone, medium risk, and high risk, is a great gameplay mechanic. And for people who want to go and have that risk and take that, is great. But again, thinking about new players. So again, a new player may never leave the safe zone and may have a great experience. So to me, I think for the long-term viability of Star Atlas, the idea of a very deep degree of different possible gameplays is awesome. I think somebody mentioned a comment, well, you know, you want to, if you're going to pay to be in this game, you want to be able to experience everything. And there's nothing inherently wrong, but as I think Jose was mentioning too, they're trying to create a game that hasn't existed before. So the idea that you can't actually explore everything is novel, and it's fine. Again, if that's not the game you like, that's fine, no problem. But I think that is a novel approach. And so I personally, you know, that's fine. But I also realized, again, and I think some people are mentioning this, well, you might have a whole set of extra ships that you don't mind taking out to the high-risk zone and if they do it, but maybe not your main fleet or something. So again, I think there's so many different things. But I guess, just again, to give my personal perspective, this is years in the future. Let's just say, hypothetically, season 6, each season takes a year. That means we're 6 years away from high-risk zone. I've been in this game now, or I've been involved for 2 years, and we're still in the preseason. In fact, I mean, as of 2 breakpoints ago, there wasn't even season. So, I mean, it's fine. I guess at the end of the day, theory crafting, as it's defined in the Star Atlas community, just doesn't appeal to me. I want to play something now. I want something that's engaging to play now. And yeah, this, I mean, it's great, it's intriguing, but if it's minimum 6 years away or more than next year, it's really hard to keep my interest. But again, that's just me. Other people are very passionate about this. I do not want to discourage that passion. I'm just commenting because that's what I get to do on my podcast. So anyway, so let's move on to a couple of final things. It's one, so we had the first Titan sale. And again, the issues of where they're not really sold. Then there was some things on Twitter that the second Titan, quote, was delisted. Okay, but I don't, and again, maybe it was on Twitter and there was more information and I didn't catch the other tweets that just not available for sale. It doesn't mean it was sold. Then they announced another Titan, different manufacturer, different name. And I think someone mentioned somewhere that there was always this idea there was more than just the three Titans that have been listed for a while in the marketplace. But what was really fascinating about this brand new Titan, it sold like 2 days later. And again, did it sell? We don't know, or I don't know yet. But Hologram News Network mentioned they had an interview planned for this upcoming week. So I'm cool, great, awesome. I think that's excellent. You know, to learn more, it was great hearing from the previous group, and it'll be interesting to hear from this other one. So, but stepping back, all this is interesting, but kind of seems strange that all this is happening so quickly, especially you put one on there and somebody immediately purchased it. Well, there was still another one. So I guess there's been 4 announced on the marketplace and one anyways. So, but as I'm starting to sense the larger environment, crypto is quote unquote in a bear market, and maybe that's a lot more money available. What I guess I hope is this is showing a lot more interest that Star Atlas is a viable effort and people are willing to invest some money. Again, not sure how much or what the agreements are, but I guess in the end, it'll be interesting to see how these Titan sales, one, if they really happen, what is the consequence for financial things? Because I assume these are all direct sales, so this should need money right back to the Star Atlas team. And then ultimately, do these larger groups have impact within the day-to-day aspects of Star Atlas? And again, as we're coming up to the Star Atlas or sorry, Sage Starbased, where there'll be movement of resources and upgrading. Starbase is a Titan due to its storage capacity could greatly impact that. So I think that's fine. That's part of the thing. Just I don't think many people thought that these would be impacts now. And I think I alluded to on a previous podcast. So maybe there's the small solo gamers like myself. There's obviously the guilds. It seemed like those were the two things. Now we have a third, I don't want to use the word faction, but a third entity, because I would assume a Titan, for all intents and purposes, could act as much as a guild impact, definitely on cost. I don't know, I guess if you added up all the ships that a certain guild has, does it have more action resource capabilities than a single Titan? Again, I'm not following the individual metrics on those things. So anyways, and then just one or two last, but they're all kind of related, and these are more of my personal interactions. So as I mentioned in the past, I'm so far just keeping my fleet in the faction fleet. I'm perfectly happy getting score on a daily basis after refilling or resupplying the R4 for my claim stakes. Perfect gameplay. Sage just wasn't doing it for me. So I moved all my stuff out of Sage, the remaining little stuff I had. Again, I mentioned last week having problems with that. Well, this past week, tons of problems trying to claim or resupply and even claiming things. Interestingly, so I listened to Atlas Brew today. This is Saturday, which is on Wednesday, and I normally do my claiming on Fridays, but I do my resupplying every day. So all week I had problems. So I was thinking, oh, well, Wednesday, it should have gotten improved because they mentioned they fixed some Salon issues, but that wouldn't match for Friday. But then I saw someone, I think it was Brianna Ryzen, reposting a tweet from VB, one of the Star Atlas community members, moderators in the Discord, that there has been a lot of Solana problems. One was, I guess, the Solana is getting a lot more interest. And I think I saw in one of my crypto newsletters that it keeps rising, even though Bitcoin's been fluctuating. Anyway, so apparently there's a lot of interest. And then there's this whole thing of RPC server issues. So I don't technically understand all the back end of Star Atlas. There's servers like Starcom and there's other things. And again, it just would be awesome if somebody put together a technical guide. But even if they did, it'd probably be outdated as they're rebuilding things. But my vague understanding of RPCs based on my IT experience, which was a real-time protocol. I can't remember what it's called. Anyways, Windows servers have RPC services. So I assume it's just servers talking to servers, but I'm not 100% sure of that. Anyway, so there's issues there. So that might explain why we're having all these problems, but it does bring, I think, up a couple of things. One, I don't understand on the blockchain, which I thought was immutable and all this other stuff, why if I submit a transaction, it literally doesn't commit. Why doesn't it just queue it up? And again, maybe that's the RPCs. I know, again, the blockchains are all about decentralization based on nodes. But, and I think I've mentioned this maybe a couple times in past before, this doesn't sound very structurally sound. If I try to do a transaction, I think it goes through. I click the button on my ledger, Phantom says it's fine, and nothing happens. So I've always thought, oh, the Star Atlas website's not working. Well, apparently it could be the blockchain itself, whatever that means, these RPC servers that are out there too. It's a lot of places that basically I think I'm playing a game, but in reality I'm dealing with server slowness. Hopefully, again, this is just Solana's busy because it's popular and all this, but these issues, and again, I know it'll be said, well, we're building in public, we're figuring things out, Star Atlas will say, but you're building on top of someone else's platform. And if that platform, you know, I understand that the benefit of Solana and why that blockchain was picked is because it's speed. You can do tons of transactions. Well, if you can't commit a transaction, who cares how fast it is? So again, I'm not saying this is Star Atlas's fault, though there were talk about priority fees and some other word that I don't know. So I think, yeah, we'll just have to be patient. Sounds like they made some fixes, but maybe again, those fixes didn't address the broader issues. So hopefully this will all get better in the future. Cause actually I think it was, Yeah, I think it was Metaverse Explorer put out a video late last night, early this morning, and mentioned that the way the Solana blockchain and all these issues are occurring, if Star Alice actually were to release Starbase and you really can't play it because of external issues, the kind of publicity hit to that would be very bad. And again, that just came into my mind, I think, because I just listened to it a few hours ago. But that's actually a very, very wise suggestion, that until the Solana blockchain becomes stable and reliable, development of Star Atlas is pretty much can't go anywhere. So anyways, don't want to leave on a kind of down note there, because again, things are seem to be moving forward. But again, there may be another external shock to the system if Solana is starting to have major issues, especially if Star Atlas is at one time, I think, was doing 10% of all the transactions per day. Well, you're going to feel it, you know, if you're trying to play and you basically nothing gets committed. So anyways, that's wrapping it up. That was the week in review. Again, if anybody's interested in being a guest on my podcast, please reach out to me, intergalacticherald.com. Go to the contact page. If you're interested in Star Atlas merchandise, and again, I'm trying to build a merch store, I'd love to get your feedback on that. Please go to intergalacticgear.com and look for my merch survey. If you are a Star Atlas gamer who's not interested in joining a guild but would like to have a different community you can hang out in than the official Star Atlas Discord, I'm trying to start a community there that will give you both threaded discussions and email alerts so you can kind of come in and out when it fits your schedule, please go to intergalacticcoalition.com and fill out that interest survey. Once I get enough people there, I'll be able to start moving forward on that. So that's it for this week. Hope you found this interesting, and have a great week ahead. This is Matt with the Intergalactic Herald.